I can't believe I'm saying this because in I Didn't Believe Him, my book, there is a scene where I'm horrified because my first grader brings home a book from school that has no words in it. And he's sort of playing a little joke on me. You know, at this point, I realize he has no idea how to read. And he says, "Oh, mommy, I have a favorite book. I just love it. Do you want me to read it to you?" And I get all excited because I think my son really does have the favorite book and he's going to read it to me. And he pulls out a book called One Frog Too Many, and he starts, quote unquote, reading, and there are no words. And I was just horrified. Now, in first grade, kids should not be bringing home books with no words. That should not happen.
Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing valuable insights, practical tips, and proven strategies to equip new teachers for success. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, educator, published author, and instructional coach. Join me in each episode as we offer a supportive platform for navigating the challenges of the teaching profession. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing why early reading skills are essential for student success with our guest, Irene Daria. Before we get into today's topic, I'd like to take a moment to share a little bit about today's special guest. Irene Daria is a developmental psychologist specializing in teaching children how to read. She has taught reading to the children of many celebrities as well as to hundreds of other children, both as a paid specialist and as a volunteer in Harlem, and has trained teachers in the science of reading. She is the author of I Didn't Believe Him, a memoir coming in August about how schools have failed to teach kids to read, and the Steps to Reading workbook series, which enables anyone to teach a child to read. She lives with her husband in Manhattan and Amagansett, New York, and is the proud mother of two adult sons, whom you can meet as young children in her memoir. Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing why early reading skills are essential for student success with our guest, Irene Daria. Welcome to the show, Irene.
Thank you, Steve. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Would you like to take a moment to share your journey in education with our audience?
Yes, my journey in education was quite a surprising one. I never expected to have a journey in education ever. I'll start at the end of the story because the end of the story brings you to the beginning of the story. So the end of the story is my book, which has just been released.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's called I Didn't Believe Him. And the subtitle is, and this explains my journey into education, my son told me his school wasn't teaching him to read. I told him to trust his teacher. This is the story of what happened next. So my journey in education began when that happened to my son. And like the book tells you, the story of my journey in education, it takes you behind the scenes of a really well-regarded school. It shows the pain that caused my entire family, from my son who didn't learn to read. It's why early reading skills are dear to my heart, and I'm glad we're going to be talking about them in a minute. The pain my younger son felt when he wasn't learning how to read in kindergarten. My work and worry, because back then I was not yet, I am now a developmental psychologist because of what happened to my son. I went back to school and got a PhD in developmental psychology. At the time that this happened to him, I was just a mom who did not know how children learn to read at all. And so that is my journey in education. My son wasn't taught how to read in school because his school was not teaching kids to sound out words. It was using balanced literacy or three cueing. And I ended up teaching him to read myself, delved into the research, learned about the history, and all of that is detailed in I Didn't Believe Him. But my journey began because I did not believe my son. He had a horrible kindergarten year because of it. And he finally got through to me in first grade what the problem was by holding a book behind his back, a little pattern book, and reading, quote unquote, reading the words at exactly the right time as he turned the page. So he read, a house is a home, a teepee is a home, an apartment building is a home. You can see how easy that is to memorize, right? And I realized he'd memorized all the books in his, you know, that he was given in school. Had no idea how to read. So that is my journey in education. I now own So I'm now a developmental psychologist. I own a K-12 tutoring company in New York. I've written a series of workbooks that parents can teachers can use to teach children how to read and literacy, and advocating for literacy and empowering teachers and parents to know all that they can about how children learn to read is really my mission, my passion in life. Yeah. So that's my story.
Well, that is great. What an amazing journey, actually. I have to ask you, Irene, what exactly do we mean by early reading skills? I mean, what are the specific components?
Are you a teacher who finds yourself drowning in the challenges of classroom management? Do student behaviors leave you feeling overwhelmed and drained at the end of each day? Picture this, a classroom where your students are not just present, but fully engaged, focused, and eager to learn. Say goodbye to classroom management stress and hello to success. The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program.
So early reading skills, really, it's funny, they're called early reading skills. The term really should be pre-reading skills. They're skills that you want to get into place in a child before the child is actually beginning to learn how to read. And research has identified six important components of that. So what those are, and many of these happen naturally in many homes. The first one, and probably, I don't want to say most important one because they're all very important, but most important for developing a child, a love of reading in a child, is fostering a love of books. The research calls this print motivation. This is a very official sounding term, but you want the child to love reading. And the way you impart love of something in a child typically is by making it enjoyable and fun for the child. So this is something that, you know, most parents who would be listening, I think, to your podcast do naturally, you know, read to your child. Many parents make this a bedtime ritual. That's what we did in our home. I just have to stress, all these pre-reading skills, they were in place for my son. So be very careful. You know, you can do everything right and the child can still go to school and not be taught how to read. Oh. with an ineffective curriculum. So I used to be a writer before I became a psychologist, published 3 books with big time publishers like Random House and mm-hmm. Simon & Schuster, was a journalist, loved to read. My child loved to read. So the way I fostered that and the way research says you should foster that, every night we read a story. If he loved a story, we read it over and over and over again. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, I know how that one ends. You know, it's like, you know, let the child, you know, drive what you are reading to him.
Absolutely.
Do include, this is jumping ahead a little bit in the development of reading, but do include nonfiction in the stories that you choose. A lot of parents typically choose only fictional stories. You know, choose nonfiction because that will develop a knowledge of the world, which affects a child's reading comprehension later. But most important thing, you know, read with your child and make this a time of warmth and joy. Do not make this. And teaching is and can be joyful. I don't mean to make it sound like teaching a child something isn't enjoyable, but do not make this bonding lovely time with your child a lesson.
Yeah.
You keep this bedtime reading. Let the child be the recipient of this warmth and joy of the story. You know, this is not the time to be saying, oh, look, we read from left to right, which we will do later. You do want to teach your child that. Not at bedtime, not when you are having the special moment it would be like going to a movie theater and having someone point out how the director, you know, cut all the, the scenes. You know, you just let the child absorb the quote unquote movie, the story, have that be a joyful moment. So number one is fostering a love of books. Number two, the second component of early reading skills is vocabulary. So you want to talk to your child a lot. And again, I'm tempering everything a little bit because I have seen what happens. I saw when I was going for my degree, we would have parents calling the psychology office asking what they can do to cognitively stimulate their toddlers. And we would say, let them play. So, you know, I don't want, I worry that I have seen families take this to an extreme. So talk to your child. When you are able to talk to your child, do not feel that you need to keep a running monologue in order to, do not turn this into a job. That's the things that I'm telling you to do. You know, talk to your child, explain what you're doing. If you're exhausted from a long day's work, it's okay. You don't have to talk at that moment, you know, but when you're refreshed and rested and you know, talk, explain, tell the child what you're doing, what you're seeing. When you are reading with the child, and this is something that you can do during your lovely bedtime reading moment, books include vocabulary that does not come up in our spoken conversation. So when you come across a word that you know your child hasn't been exposed to yet, do tell him what that word means, you know, when you're reading with him or her. So vocabulary. So we have love of books, vocabulary. And then number three is something called phonemic awareness. That is, the child needs to be aware of the sounds that he or she hears in spoken words. Number four, and this pairs very closely with phonemic awareness, is letter knowledge. So this is a fun way of... I'm going to give you the how-tos mixed in with the what they are, because I think it's just nice to know how to develop all of this. You know, phonemic awareness and letter knowledge, we're going to pair those together. It's something like, you can play a game like I Spy. I spy with my little eye something that begins, and often parents will say, with the letter T. Don't do that. Don't say with the letter T. Say, I spy with my little eye something that begins with the T sound. You want to enunciate the sound that the letter makes. That's the phonemic awareness, the awareness of the sound. And then make, you know, plan to, okay, today we're going to play this game with letter T, or today we're going to play this game with letter M. Have the letter written on a card. So when you say, I spy with my little eye something that begins with the T sound, you're going to hold up the card that has the letter T written on it. So the child pairs that sound with the letter. Something else that's very important, parents and teachers do this all the time, all the time. They will teach children the sounds that letters make without ever explaining to the child what letters are. They will say, oh, A makes the A sound. And some children will accept this, right? They'll be like, okay, this symbol that my teacher wrote, this squiggle, that's an A, and that letter says A. Other children will think to themselves, that doesn't make any sound. That's just something that my teacher wrote on the whiteboard. What is she talking about? And they don't really get it. This is a function research shows of something called information processing. We all fall in the world, in the human nature and human psychology and makeup. We all fall on a continuum of various skills or methods of doing things. And with information processing, kids are either, they need to go, it's sort of holistic or analytical, you know, where you need to go step by step. If someone is holistic, they're like a big picture learner and they will intuit things and just go with the flow. If someone is a little picture learner, that's a layperson's term, they need to have everything explicitly spelled out to them. So you want to come right out and say to a child, in the old days, people just talked, they didn't write things down. And, you know, someone then came up with the idea of writing down what we were saying so that, you know, people began traveling and going places and they wanted to share stories with other people and be able to write things down. So we came up with letters that stand for the sounds that we make when we speak. Really explain to a child what letters are. So I spy with my little eye, something that begins with a T. You hold up the T. You're teaching two things at the same time. You're teaching them to hear the sounds, individual sounds, at the beginning of a word at first. Later on, you move on to the end of the word, and then you can move on to the beginning of the word, the middle of a word, like k at. Always pairing the sound with the visual representation of the letter. Okay, and then 5 and 6, I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff at everybody, but is this all right, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely.
With me? Okay, number 5 is what research calls print awareness. You want kids to be aware of how books work, that they go left to right, that you read left to right, that you're holding it, you know, which way is upside down and you know, the front cover, the back cover. This is something that you can explain to your child before you start reading to him or her at bedtime. You're going to have to explain this once or twice. This isn't something you're going to do over and over again. So you decide, you know, when the best time to do this is. And as your child gets older, I'm talking about, you know, the beginning readers, as they get older, as they are, you know, watching the page more closely in the beginning, your child is just going to be looking at the pictures and not looking at the words. As they begin looking at the words, you can use your finger to show, you know, what words you're up to, what words you're reading. And then number 6 is what's called narrative skills, the ability to tell a story. So you, when you speak with your child, and again, now we're talking about older pre-readers, you know, let's say around 3 years old, you want them to be talking to you in full sentences. Ideally, often you'll find many young children, they'll tell you a story and you'll sometimes will be like, what are you talking about? Because it'll be out of sequence. You know, you want to sort of gently nudge them towards using what's called the main idea sentence, like answer a question with a sentence and then give all the details that sort of prove that sentence. You want them to be able to retell a story. I can't believe I'm saying this because in I Didn't Believe Him, my book, there is a scene where I'm horrified because my first grader brings home a book from school that has no words in it. And he's sort of playing a little joke on me. You know, at this point, I realize he has no idea how to read. And he says, oh, mommy, I have a favorite book. I just love it. Do you want me to read it to you? And I get all excited because I think my son really does have the favorite book and he's going to read it to me. And he pulls out a book called One Frog Too Many, and he starts, quote unquote, reading, and there are no words. And I was just horrified. Now, in first grade, kids should not be bringing home books with no words. That should not happen. But preschoolers, little kids, absolutely, you can, you know, get those stories that are just visual and it's clear what's happening, you know, the story is progressing. And you can have your child tell the story of what he or she sees happening in the pictures. And that will help develop narrative skills, the ability to tell a story. So that was a lot.
Well, I'm sure they'll have some golden nuggets there for sure. Well, let me ask you this. And why are early reading skills so crucial for a child's overall academic success then?
Because they set the stage. Reading is imperative to success in any aspect of school and life, especially as we get more, you know, technological and everyone's texting and emailing and nobody calls anybody anymore. But they set the stage for success. They set the stage. When a child begins kindergarten, a child should know the sounds of all the upper and lower case letters. And, you know, if they don't, often they will feel behind their peers. Parents, I can tell you from what I'm seeing, you know, being out in the world and doing what I do for a living and talking about my book now, a lot of parents are really proactive about working with their children at home. I'm not saying everyone needs to be teaching their child how to read at home, but you want to make sure your child's preschool, because, you know, most kids go to preschool now, you want to make sure your child's preschool is teaching these skills. And if they're not, it's not so easy to change a school. You want to be doing it yourself so that your child starts school feeling confident and walks into kindergarten understanding what letters are, understanding what it means that letters make their sounds, being ready to learn how to sound out words. And I've witnessed what happens when children are behind, you know, are not ready. They especially if phonics is not taught in a systematic, explicit way in the classroom, will fall behind and they will tune out to what's happening in the classroom. You know, math relies on being able to read. You have word problems. Science, you have to, you know, read history. It's reading is the name of the game in school. So
absolutely. You want to. Absolutely. Now, what I want to ask you next, I know I've talked to people in the past, Irene, that said, well, you know, we're teaching, you know, I think our kids should just play and not worry about stuff. And we're trying to put all this stuff on them at such an early age. So this leads me to this question. What age should parents and educators start focusing on developing reading skills? I mean, you know, some people think, well, it's 2 years old. That's too young, or we should wait till they get to preschool age, 4 years. I mean, yeah, 4 and 5 years old. I mean, what's your sense on that?
Well, this is what I mean by I don't want it to turn into a job for anyone, not for the parent and not for the child. But you these are things that parents do naturally. Most parents who are listening, I think, to your podcast, read to their kids. They talk to their kids. They explain things to the kids. These are things that happen naturally at home. What does not happen naturally at home is the phonemic awareness part, you know, the knowing the letters. And I would say start that at age, definitely by 4. You can start it sooner, but definitely by 4, because by 5, you want that to be in place for your child. I was one of those people, and I was getting a PhD in developmental psychology, mind you. It is absolutely correct and true that children should be playing. They should be playing. They should be socializing with other children, because that's very important for school too, to mm-hmm. be able to get along absolutely. With other kids. They need to enjoy their childhoods. They learn about life through play and through imitation. So absolutely, 100%. But doing these little pre-reading skills will not take away from play. I'm not saying spend an hour and a half every day doing this with your child. We're talking 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, add it into a day where you work on this with them. And I was one of those parents that did not. My son started kindergarten not knowing the sounds of all his letters. He was one of the few in his class who didn't. His preschool teacher wanted to work with him on letter sounds. She babysat for him. And I said, no, I just want him to play. A PhD student in psychology, right? So, but don't make my mistake. Don't put your kid through what I put my kid through. And really make sure that this is in place when he starts kindergarten.
Okay. All right. Now, can you tell us what are some effective strategies for teaching? I know you shared the phonemic, you know, sounds and letter combination, but is there anything else in terms of, you know, strategies to teach early reading skills to young children?
Make it fun. you know, we were talking about how important play is. Making it fun is imperative. You know, when the child's had enough of, this never happened in our home, actually. But if you're ever reading a story and the kid says enough, stop. Usually it's mommy read more, right? Make it fun. That's why, you know, I spy with my little eye. That's a game.
Yeah.
You're not sitting, you know, with a notebook teaching. You're playing. Or you can play the another game that I love is, you know, when you hide something and then you tell someone hotter or colder, if they're looking for it and you say hot, 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 that they're getting close to it, or cold, 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 they're far away from it. You can do that with letter sounds. You can hide the letter M, right? And then you make the sound of the letter as they get closer to it. You get louder, so right. And if they're far away, quiet. So they love that game, by the way. So you see what I mean?
Yeah,
it's fun. It's play. But they're learning an important skill.
Okay, that's great. So basically, to kind of recap what you said is, before a child goes into preschool, they should know or have an awareness of phonemes and the letter, you know, the letters that are tied to them. Would you say?
Before they go into kindergarten.
Okay.
In preschool, they ideally will be working on this. My son, in hindsight, was one of those kids where the teacher was teaching letters and they were making fish for the letter F. You know, he brought home this gigantic binder at the end of the year of all his letter projects. He had no idea what the teacher was talking about. You know, he made fish. And I didn't realize it, and either did his teacher. He just didn't understand. No one told him, not that he didn't understand that there was, you know, an issue with him. No one told him letters stand for the sounds that we make when we speak. If someone had told him those words, his preschool experience would have been a whole different story. But children should finish preschool with a knowledge of the upper and lowercase letters. Often preschools just teach the uppercase letters. You want your child knowing both at the start of kindergarten.
Oh, that's really wild. How important, I think you already alluded to it, but is the role of parents in developing early reading skills?
Imperative.
And what specific actions do they need to take?
Exactly what I detailed. You know, I know families who are reading to their children from birth. Wouldn't be me personally. Do you know what I mean? I would be holding and cuddling. I wouldn't really. But if it brings you joy, this is an important thing about parenting. There's no one right way to do anything. You need to follow your heart. If it brings you joy and makes you happy to read to your newborn while you're holding your newborn, do it. Do it, right? And if it doesn't, don't. Just, it's so exhausting being the parent of a baby. Take care of yourself, take care of your baby, you know, do what is in your heart to do with your little one. But do talk, you know, talk and coo and engage but it imperative. I did an interview with someone yesterday who used to be a principal, and he said words that I just love that I'm going to repeat and repeat and repeat. He wants parents to realize that they are their children's main teacher, and he feels that teachers should think to themselves, we shouldn't be asking parents to support us. We should be asking parents, how can we support you? Now, a lot of parents, and even as I said those words, I thought, oh my God, that sounds horrible. I don't want to be responsible for my child's education. I don't. I mean, I wish that my child's teacher had taught him, you know, how to read. But we need to make sure, when I say responsible for your child's education, I don't mean you have to teach your child everything. I mean, make sure your child is ready to learn what the teacher is ready to teach him. Does that make sense? I want to repeat that. So a parent's role is make sure your child is ready to learn what the teacher is ready to teach him. And your child may have gone to a fabulous preschool And you may not have needed to do anything with letters at home with the child because the preschool did it all. Great. But it may not have happened. And if you as the parent don't do it, no one else is going to do it. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let me ask you about this. Excuse me. The importance of fluency. What is your sense on you know, having your child, you know, or having a child, you know, read text just to get that fluency going?
Well, that is no longer pre-reading. That is actual reading. And fluency is considered one of the five pillars of effective reading instruction that was identified by the National Reading Panel 24 years ago already. It's now part of what's known as the science of reading, that is really spreading like wildfire, thank God, throughout much of the country. And, you know, many teachers are becoming aware of how important these five components are. Two things that we talked about: phonemic awareness, the sounds we hear, phonics, the ability to sound out words, vocabulary, which we also talked about, actually comprehension, which we talked about. And good point, Steve, I did not mention fluency, but that's for older readers who can read. Fluency is very important because an example of lack of fluency is sometimes kids don't stop at periods. They just keep going. That completely changes the meaning of the two sentences that are side by side. And then they're like, huh? You know, hopefully they're like, huh? They, you know, that they don't know what they read. Sometimes they just keep going and they really don't know what they read. So it's important for a child to be able to read naturally and fluently. Yes.
Okay. All right. Outstanding. Irene, what is, if you had to, probably many things, but if you had to just pick one thing, what would be your biggest takeaway that you'd like to share with our audience, which is primarily new teachers, but, you know, for teachers in general?
Read about the science of reading. Go online and do your own research. You know, it is very unfortunate that schools of education have been training teachers to teach reading incorrectly for decades. And many teachers are now aware of it. They've created Facebook sites with names like The Science of Reading, What I Should Have Learned in College. Teachers are writing, you know, open letters to the deans of their universities. Some universities are making changes. Columbia University shut down Lucy Calkins' department that created the units of study curriculum. I mean, we had an Ivy League university churning out teachers who were trained to teach reading incorrectly. I mean, it's just been a travesty and tragedy what's happened to children and to teachers. Teachers were as much victims of what happened to my son as the children were, because teachers, God, my hat goes off to teachers. They are the heroes that they are. It is so difficult, I think, to be a teacher, to manage a classroom, to engage a classroom, to motivate a classroom, and to instruct a classroom. That's like,
it's a tough.
Oh my God. And every teacher wants to teach effectively. No teacher wants to teach ineffectively, right? So Google The Science of Reading. This is not a plug for my book, but it is a plug for my book. Read my book. I Didn't Believe Him. It gives the entire history of reading instruction in our country, starting with Horace Mann, who is the father of public education and who established the first teaching institution in our country. And from the beginning, from that very first teaching institution, the teaching of reading was taught incorrectly. Horace Mann did not like phonics, believed children should memorize whole words. And any teacher in a classroom can tell you that falls apart for any kid when they reach third grade if they have not been taught how to sound out.
Exactly. I do believe that children need to learn to read by third grade. I mean, you know, you learn to read and then read to learn from above third grade on. And, you know, it's really sad, Irene. I know when I was in a classroom, I typically taught fourth and fifth grade. And when I typically would get kids, I'd get lots of children that can barely read on grade level. And it was just disheartening, you know, it's really, you know, was disheartening. So, but, you know, you push forward and do the very best that you can, you know, but, yeah.
Phonics, those kids, you know, it's an issue schools are becoming aware of. Those kids need to be taught phonics. Mm-hmm. They need to go back and learn what they were not taught when they were younger.
Yes. Yes. There's many strands to the science of reading. As a matter of fact, I've done a podcast on that, science of reading. Very, very crucial, you know, to say the least. Okay. So, Irene, how can folks connect with you? And obviously, I know you got a new book. It's out. So please share.
So I Didn't Believe Him tells the story. It has, you know, the three prongs to it. It takes you behind the scenes of a very well-regarded school and shows you exactly what teachers were doing wrong. Well-intentioned, kind teachers. People say to me, aren't you angry with them? Aren't you angry with what they did? And I say, no, they were doing what they were trained, you know, to do. But what a tragedy, but you'll see exactly, what happened there. There's, some early reviews have come out, and one former teacher who now makes materials for teachers to use in their classroom said, you know, she found the book both horrifying and inspiring. Horrifying because she saw herself in the teacher. She saw herself using those balanced literacy methods, which she now knows didn't work. Some things in balanced literacy, like read alouds, are great,
but
you know, just doing a little sprinkling of phonics here and there, not a good idea.
Right, right.
And inspiring because it shows you how we overcame, how he eventually became an outstanding student, a stellar reader, and went on to really great academic success. But I have to tell you, if my little kid, I think this is why I wrote the book, if my little kid didn't finally find a way to get through to me, I told him to trust his school. I think I want parents to know, you know, not that they should not blindly trust their child's school. And teachers, I think it's important for you to hear that. And I have been surprised at the support I am getting from teachers on Twitter, for example. I was afraid teachers wouldn't like my book, right? Because I'm pointing out what was done wrong. The support that I'm getting is amazing. And you know, one of my messages is that parents should not blindly trust their child's school. And teachers are saying, yes, they should not. Absolutely, they should not. You know, they should trust if the trust is earned.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. But they should ask questions, and teachers and parents should work as a team to support the child together. So to get in touch with me and to learn more, my website is stepstoreading.com. There you'll find out more about me. There's a video on how to teach a child to read. There are free resources to download. There is information on my workbooks that are great for schools and for families. There's my email if anybody has any questions. I would love to, you know, help and answer in any way that I can. So that's stepstoreading.com.
Okay, great. And as a matter of fact, the website I'll have in the podcast description as well for folks to get in contact with you.
Great.
Having said that, you know, Irene, I want to thank you so much. You know, I know you got a busy schedule, but you took time out to come and talk with us. And I know there's teachers out there in our audience that's probably got a ton of gold nuggets there. Okay. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I look forward to having you on sometime in the future to come back on and share. We could probably talk for hours on this topic here, you know, very, very critical. So again, thank you. And you have an awesome day. Take care.
You too. Thanks, Steve. Okay. Bye.
Well, my friend, we have come to the end of today's episode, but before we go, are you ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students? Then learn more about how the Teacher Rockstar Academy can be of help. Simply go to teacherclassroomresources.com/TRA. I'll put the link in the description so that you can learn more about this program. I want to thank you for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. We'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of teacher rockstars. Until then, thanks for listening.